This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Julia Jacobs and Lim Soo Ann. As you just heard in that news update, lots has been happening, lots of movement going on. The latest that we've heard is that PKR has confirmed that Dato' Sri Azmin Ali and Zuraida Kamarudin have been fired from all positions in the party. Meanwhile, Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail and her husband, PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, are scheduled to have an audience with the Yang di-Pertuan Agong at Istana Negara, anytime now, really.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So yes, a lot is going on, and we will be coming periodically with updates. Mm-hmm. But we also have a group of stories that are kind of responding around all of these things that are happening. Since last night, of course, Pakatan Harapan seems to possibly be on the brink of a collapse. Rumors of party switching, a change in government are rife. So we are going to be exploring what the repercussions of such a move could be on several different levels.
Yes, so if the Prime Minister does indeed have the numbers to form a new government, and what does our federal constitution have to say about this? So we're going to explore what can or cannot be done under the federal constitution following this, well, shall we call it, political manoeuvre.
Mm. And then following that, the Pakatan Harapan coalition was always one with very different ideologies. So was this splintering inevitable once the aim of taking Putrajaya was reached? We're going to discuss that issue.
And after that, we're going to take a look at, the consequences that a new coalition could have on civil society organisations in Malaysia and the work that they're doing here. And if you have any thoughts you want to share with us along the way, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, and call us 03-7733-2900.
So I think many Malaysians really are in a state of anxiety right now. I know I certainly am.
Same here.
With reports that the democratically elected government, Pakatan Harapan, is on the brink of collapse. So what we understand could be happening is that Bersatu and a faction of PKR politicians are trying to form a new government that includes UMNO, PAS, Parti Warisan Sabah and the Gabungan Parti Sarawak Coalition.
So if this is indeed true, it could result in Pakatan being left without a simple majority of at least 112 seats in Parliament. Excuse me, and subsequently a wholesale change in the ruling coalition. So that in turn could ultimately deny Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim the premiership that was promised to him. And all of this is, of course, quite shocking to many of us because, it was barely 2 days after the Pakatan Harapan Presidential Council proclaimed the settlement of the issue of premiership succession, which basically gave Dr. Mahathir the mandate on when to step down from the premiership, which was basically after November's APEC summit in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, and Dr. Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim has been quoted as saying that he knows there are attempts to bring down Pakatan Harapan and form a new government. And Anwar has said of the alleged plotters that, quote-unquote, it involves our former friends in Bersatu and a small faction of traitors from PKR. So Anwar's PKR party is the biggest constituent of the current alliance, albeit one that is beset by internal division. So current Prime Minister Tun Mahathir has said in recent months that he needs more time for a planned transition, for which he has never set a date.
So forming a new coalition could potentially allow Mahathir to serve out a full term instead of handing it over to Anwar as promised. Many Malaysians are expressing their anger on social media and over the possibility of this new alliance, saying that the coalition that they voted for to bring in reforms is now threatened to betray them by partnering with the political parties that they voted out.
Yeah, and another question that has popped up is, is any of this actually legal? Is this so-called plan allowed under our federal constitution? So we got in touch with lawyer Surendra Anand, who is the co-chairperson of the Malaysian Bar Constitutional Law Committee, earlier today to find out. When I spoke to him, I started off by asking him if such a change in government can indeed occur and whether the Prime Minister has the power to unilaterally change his cabinet and replace ministers and deputy ministers.
Yes, he can, simply because at the end of the day, the individual who has the majority support in Parliament is the Prime Minister who is appointed as the Prime Minister. So as long as the Prime Minister still holds the majority support, the Cabinet members are picked according to his choice. So he chooses whom to appoint as ministers and deputy ministers in the Cabinet, and the YDP must appoint those members. Equally, those ministers and deputy ministers hold their office at the pleasure of the YDPA, who acts on the advice of the Prime Minister. So yes, he can unilaterally change members of the Cabinet as long as he still has majority support in Parliament.
So what of the people who are still, the rest of the people in parliament who don't support it? Is there such a thing like they can put in a vote of no confidence? You know, we were just talking about that last week. Is there such a thing that can be used?
Yes, it can. So on previous occasions, last time, the best way to determine if the prime minister still holds majority support is by a vote of no confidence or something done in parliament. So it's open and transparent. But after the Perak MB fiasco, then what the federal court decided was a no confidence vote could also be decided outside of parliament by way of private audiences with various MPs. So assuming for a moment it comes to light, whether in parliament or otherwise, that the prime minister no longer has the confidence of the majority, then two things can happen. Mm-hmm. The PM can either request to the YDPA to dissolve parliament and to hold fresh elections. The YDPA can refuse such a request. Or number two, the PM can resign with his cabinet, mm-hmm. and the YDPA will then have to appoint a new prime minister.
And on what sort of basis would he appoint this new prime minister? Would it be completely up to his decision, or would it... I don't know, I mean, what sort of requirements would he need to take into consideration?
So this is one of the things where the YDPA has some level of discretion, but it's a very limited one in my view. Mm-hmm. It simply comes down to which individual then has the majority support in parliament.
Right.
So all this while, because we have been going along with a party politics system, mm-hmm. so obviously the coalition or the political party that has the majority seats, that party will then choose their leader, who obviously by necessary implication would have majority support. So it's always been pretty much a straightforward scenario on who actually has majority support.
Okay, so if a new coalition is formed, is the formation of this so-called new government, is that constitutionally proper? I mean, is there no need to dissolve the parliament first?
No, it isn't. So as I said, the constitution doesn't recognize parties or coalitions. All the constitution recognizes is an individual who has majority support in the parliament. Mm-hmm. Now, that individual, once he's appointed as PM, as long as he retains the majority support,
that's right.
all the cards are in his hands. So ultimately, if he decides to jump ship, form a new coalition, change the entire cabinet, form a new government, he can do it under the constitution as long as he has majority support. And I think some people were talking about this dissolution of parliament. I think just to be clear, there are three popular ways on how this can be done. Mm-hmm. Obviously, parliament dissolves every 5 years. That's what has been happening so far. Number two, as I described earlier, if the PM loses his majority support, he can then request to the YDPA to dissolve parliament.
Right.
In that scenario, the YDPA can stand his ground and say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to appoint a new PM. Now, third, generally speaking, the YDPA can dissolve parliament at any point in time. But this power still has to be exercised on the advice of the PM. So it ultimately just comes down to the prime minister.
Oh, gosh. So basically, I think, like what you say, it's all about the majority support towards that one individual, and that is the prime minister.
Yes.
So, I mean, a lot of people are saying this is so wrong. You know, this is not the government that we voted in. Is there anything that the people can do as such? We're entitled to ask, you know, whether our political leaders, they're more interested in themselves or in national interest.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. And this is, I think, fundamentally the system that we have sort of built. So the constitution presumes, it looks at the individual or the MP representing each constituency. And ultimately, it presumes that representative, whatever he does, represents the will of his constituents. Now, obviously, when we voted for someone, I think there's a certain margin on what he can or cannot do, what he should or should not do. Mm-hmm. But a drastic step like this, switching to a completely different coalition or different political party is fundamentally, I think, a betrayal of trust. Mm-hmm. Because when we vote, we don't just vote for the individual. We also look at the flag that he is running under. And I think it's fair to say that is an important factor on why most people voted. So while, yes, you now have let's say this new coalition that rumored has 130 seats, I think about 131. Mm-hmm. If you look at it purely from a statistical point of view, well, yeah, they have the majority. And if you crunch the numbers down, most probably the majority of constituents are on their side. But to those who have leapfrogged and jumped, is that what your constituents who voted for you really wanted from you at the end of the day? Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I don't think anything can be done at this point in time. But those who voted for these people will have to ask themselves, will they vote for them again in the next coming election after what they have done?
Okay, all right. And the king, I think a lot of responsibility lies with the king right now. Can he dissolve parliament without asking anyone's permission under the constitution?
No, he can't. He can't on his own accord dissolve parliament.
Okay.
There is some, I think, uncertainty on this. Right? I think Aziz Bari did give a comment on Malaysia Kini that he can. Mm-hmm. I don't think so, because I think the constitution is quite clear. He retains the discretion on a very few things. One is an appointment of the prime minister. Number two, I think it's very important, he retains the discretion to withhold his consent if a request for dissolution has been made by the prime minister. Mm-hmm. So the discretion is quite specific to the withholding of consent. He does not have his own discretion to actively dissolve parliament. That can be done by him only if the PM advises him to do so. So ultimately, as I said, as long as Mahathir has majority support, he holds all the cards.
So that was lawyer Surendra Ananth, the co-chairperson of the Malaysian Bar Constitutional Law Committee, explaining the constitutionality of what has been transpiring in the last 24 hours. We're going to take a quick break, but stay tuned. You know, we've got lots of updates for you. You are listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.